Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Charlotte Shout is our city's celebration of art, culture, and community, including major art installations, music from multiple genres, food, even fashion, and it's back for its third consecutive year. Last year, nearly 2 million people participated in this 17-day festival uptown, and organizers are expecting more to come this year. So what is Charlotte Shout, and why should you attend? We'll whet your appetite by answering those questions this hour. One of the major art installations is the work of one of our guests, Morag Myerskoff. She's an artist well known for her work in England, in Great Britain, in London particularly, as someone who uses art to bridge cultural divides. And the name of her installation for Charlotte Shout is particularly appropriate given our city's ambitions. It is called The State of Becoming. Morag Myerskoff, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi. Robert Crumbon is also with us. He is the Chief Creative Officer and Senior Vice President for Events at Charlotte Center City Partners and the Executive Producer of Charlotte Shout. And James Labar is Senior Vice President of Economic Development for Charlotte Center City Partners as well. Good morning to both of you. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning. So, Robert, I'm starting with you with a very basic question. What is Charlotte Shout, and why the name?
Well, we'll start with the name. Shout was created way back in 2002, was our first year, actually. And we did a lot of work thinking about what this event could be all about. We wanted to create a signature event for Charlotte that, as you said, celebrates the art, the culture, and our community as a whole. And one of the things that we realized was that we had this wonderful artist that had a legacy here that was Romare Bearden. And he has a beautiful piece that's called Carolina Shout, which represents the tradition in the United House of Prayer, where the shout bands perform. And we, let's say we lifted that. We thought it was a great name to put Charlotte in front of. And that's how Charlotte Shout became the name. And it is an event that truly does celebrate all those things. We want to show the world that we have an amazing community, that we are very creative, that we have people here that are just ready to come together and inspire others and create things that will make us all aspire to other great things. And that is what Shout is. And it's a combination of art, food, music, and innovation and ideas. And as you said, this year we've added fashion to that list, and it really is exciting to see all of this come together.
It's a multidisciplinary 17-day event, and when you go through the schedule and you go through the number of different events there are to see and participate in, it is mind-boggling, actually. But even more mind-boggling, I guess, would be the number of creative people you had to choose from, because they're coming from all over the world, not just Charlotte. How do you decide which chefs, which storytellers, which artists, which dancers, which poets, which to include in all of this?
It is not an easy task. We do a call for creative participation early, right after Shout is over. We'll put that out again, and we start accepting applications. And as we have in this new iteration since the pandemic, we have grown with the number of applications. So we get a small group of other creatives, and also folks that just want to, you know, participate in giving us their opinions. And then we sort through the myriad list of folks that have sent in their ideas, and we select what we think are really going to appeal to our local audience. And we seem to be doing pretty good at it. It is really hard to say no, though. I will tell you right now, balancing the choices against the budget, and I, it's hard for me. I just want to take them all because they're so amazing.
Yeah. James LaVar is with us. He's the Senior Vice President of Economic Development for Charlotte Center Cindy Partners, and they are the organization behind all of this. And I mentioned, James, that last year nearly 2 million people took part in Charlotte Shout. What is the economic impact of something like that every year?
Yeah, great question, Mike. When we look at our data and insights about what the economic impact of Shout last year was, we approximate about a $12 million of economic impact for Shout in 2023. And we come to that number based upon the number of people that are actually visiting the art and idea and food and music installations. So we're able to collect insights about actually how many people come into those spaces. And then most of the Shout activities are free, but when people come into Uptown to visit those pieces, that they need to park, they'll buy food, buy a latte, possibly purchase a piece of art that's there at the exhibit. So those indirect expenses come up and raise a significant amount of revenue for federal, state, and local jurisdictions. And in this part of our economy, the arts and culture piece is a really important piece for two reasons. One, last year, this sector added more than $450 million into our local economy. Second, the talent of tomorrow is interested in a job, but it's also got to be an interesting place to live. And the arts and culture brings that in spades. And we're really lucky that Charlotte Shout does that in conjunction with a series of other things that are located in Uptown.
The return on investment here is 6 to 1. For every, I think, $1 invested in this enterprise, $6 comes back, which raises the question, if it's so successful, and it is, why? Is it because it's a 17-day event and it's only sustainable over 17 days? Or is this an example that perhaps we should be investing more in arts throughout the city, throughout the country for that matter, because of the return on that investment?
Yeah, no, I think the answer to your question is yes. One, it is.
Why don't we do it?
Yeah, I think
because we don't do it.
Priorities. It's a question about priorities with limited resources. And so as a growing community, and Charlotte is a growing community with an average of 113 people moving here every day, yeah. I think our entire community, whether it be elected officials, business leaders, or us on the screen, you know, money for roads, money for schools, money for arts and culture, right? And so finding that balance takes a community conversation.
You may not know the answer to this question, but we tend to gravitate toward putting lots of emphasis, if not money, on sports, professional sports, and the buildings that house those teams. Do they return 6 to 1, or is it more?
I don't know the exact question that, but I do know that those big venues, Bank of America Stadium and Spectrum Center, the last 3 years, when we look at the busiest days in Uptown, the ones that generate the most visits, it is directly tied to those events, whether it be Luke Combs or last weekend, March. So we had three things that happened on Saturday that were epic. March Madness in the Spectrum Center, Charlotte FC played, and then Moulin Rouge happened at the Blumenthal. Those three events, creating like a diversified set of activities, it is going to be one of the best days in 2024. Right now, our early insights say that more than 180,000 visits happened in that day for those three activities.
And Moulin Rouge was spectacular. Morag Myerscough is with us. She is a London artist, one of the people that they have brought over the pond to be part of this. And when I say artist, her contribution to this is an installation, which we'll talk about. But let's talk about you first. Your mantra is, make happy those who are near and those who are far will come. How does that manifest in your work?
Yeah, I think for me, it's really important working directly with the community that your work is going to be, you know, seen and part of, and that the work belongs to the community as well. So when you work with people and they're part of something, then they enthuse about it and then that spreads. So it's that idea of sort of making happy those who are near, you know, together. So it's important that we work together to make the work. And this work here has been very much made together.
The State of Becoming is the name of it. We'll talk about it in some detail a little bit later on. But when did you start working on this? When did they approach you about coming here and doing something for this festival? And how did you get together and decide what this was going to be?
Okay, so I think I'm going to go to Robert for this one. Are you going to go?
Well, I will say it was a long time coming. I had been following Morag for a while, several years actually, following her work, and said, we have got to have Morag come to Charlotte Shout. And that started the process, but we couldn't figure out how to make it happen. And we had a long conversation together, and it was very nice, and it was lovely, and it was like, okay, we're going to start this tomorrow. And that didn't happen. It took a while. It took a while, and then we finally got this on the train on the track, so to speak, and really started going. And boy, it's been great.
So I want to talk about how you contributed to this, because she likes collaboration, particularly in the communities in which she presents her work. And we'll talk about that when we come back. We're talking about Charlotte Shout, which opens this weekend and runs for 17 days all over uptown. Robert Crumbine and James LaBar are here from Charlotte Center City Partners, and Morag Myerskoff, a London artist whose State of Becoming is one of the key installations in all of this. It's Charlotte Talks, not Charlotte Shout. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFAT. I'm Mike Collins. We're here with Robert Crumbine and James LaBar from Charlotte Center City Partners. That's the organization responsible for Charlotte Shout, which opens for 17 days this weekend. And Morag Myerskoff is a London artist who has an installation as part of this, which we'll be talking about, called The State of Becoming. Morag, you talked about the importance to you of collaborating, because you work all over the world. You've put in installations in countries and cities all over the world. And when you do this, you like to collaborate with the communities involved. You've even said that if individuals in the community are actually physically working on whatever installation you're installing, you want them to sign that work, not just you. So how did it work here? Once you got it all arranged and they decided that you're coming, how did you decide what this installation was going to be? What role did you play? What role did they play?
So what I often like collaborating with are other artists and often poets. So Charlotte Shout managed to get Junius J. Ward, I think he's your poet laureate, to work with me. And how we start by doing is doing workshops. So we did a word workshop for this, and we did it jointly. Well, he led, he was amazing. I was blown away by the incredible creativity of the community that we worked with. It was really moving the evening we did the workshop. I came over and we did it together. And it was about belonging, thinking about how you feel about your city or your home or your family, and really delving into those thoughts of particularly here, because it's exciting here, because it's, you're in such a moment of change and development, but then there's also memories. And so we just went through every emotion. Robert was at it, wasn't it? It was really emotional, wasn't it? I was so blown away by the creativity of everybody that who participated. And they came out in, we had a lot of people, like 30 people, maybe 30, 40.
Yeah, so there was a good crew of folks that showed up, and it was a good mix. It was just neighbors of the uptown First Ward area, actually, and some other artists that had showed up. They wanted to see what this was all about, and it was truly one of those nights that just you want to relive over and over again.
Well, let's talk about what this is all about, because we've been very vague about what this is all about. We've said it's an installation, and it is. How big is this, Morag?
Well, so it's a location that's been used for Shout before, and it's the Victoria Yard, which is an established space that lots of artists have already decorated the containers. And so this is that idea of layering as well, that there's already something established, but it can change and grow and develop as time goes on. So Robert and his team identified that space for me, didn't you? And then I came to see it, and there it's like my perfect space. I like places like that where we can just activate. It was already activated, and obviously it's activated with the things that were already in it. But as I said, it was yet another sort of moment in time, and it was felt very strongly that words to be incorporated into the piece was really powerful, and so it's very dominated by the words in the space.
And I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to wager that it's dominated by bold colors and patterns, because that seems to be your hallmark. If people want to get a better understanding of Morag Myerskoff's work, you can go to her website right now while we're talking, moragmyerskoff.com, and take a look at some of the work she's done elsewhere around the world. How did you develop this style? Because it steals your eyeballs.
I think it's just my mother was a textile artist and my father was a musician, and I've just been brought up with color. And I know what color, I think people are scared of color sometimes, often when obviously children aren't, but when they get older, they think that's the thing you should give up, color. But I don't believe that. I think that's the thing you should embrace more when you get older, because it does make you happy. You've got to be careful with color. You know, if you make a room ceiling and everything red, or a certain color, it can make you a bit depressed, you know. So color has to be used carefully, but usually it just can elevate your mood. And you know, you just think about flowers. You know, if you see flowers in the landscape, they make you happy. And I see it like that, that you're in often my work's in an urban landscape, so often gray stone, and then you just put this, you know, this sort of vibrancy in it, and it just, when people walk by, it makes them feel happier. And I know that even because I dress brightly, and people often will say to me, "Oh, you made me happy because you're dressed brightly." And so if me as a little person, then a big thing will do that as well.
James is the only one of us not dressed in bright colors today. Prior to the pandemic, James, Uptown Charlotte was booming and it was crowded with people day and night. It was remarkable, actually. And then, of course, the pandemic came along, everything shut down. And to be honest, things have never fully recovered from that, although we're approaching full recovery, but we got a ways to go. Is Charlotte Shout one way to reacquaint people with Uptown and give them a reason to come back?
Yeah, that and possibly everybody on screen here just wearing brighter colors, especially me. But no, the pandemic was tough on downtowns across the country, right? Everyone forced to go home, and then hybrid remote work, and then monetary pressures now to get things built. And so art and idea installations are critical to not only people that live here now, but then people considering visiting or considering investing here. So one of the key things that's changed over time is that central business districts, it was how much office can you jam into one place? And now what people are looking for at work is that office be surrounded by a local restaurant. That office being surrounded by a sports venue to catch a soccer match or a basketball game, that office to be around an art installation or a concert venue, or to go hear someone speak about an idea to open their mind. And so that is what drives economic development today. It's all about the talent. When people talk about a talent war, well, talent has won. And so we got to figure out how do we become more attractive to that talent that is here and talent that is thinking about coming here. And Shout is a great example of Charlotte being a more interesting place, not only for the things that are created, but the voices that are brought in into a place like Uptown.
Robert, this is taking place all over uptown beginning this weekend. You have several designated locations where confined areas where many things are happening, and they're separated by several blocks. And Morag's installation is at a place called Victoria Yards. I'm not sure everybody knows where that is. Where is that?
Well, Victoria Yards is on East 7th Street, across from the market at 7th, and actually right just near the tracks, near the light rail tracks.
It's at our WFAE gathering building. Where it
Exactly.
is.
And
Yes.
it's just a, it was a parking lot that was empty and we needed a space to do some stuff. And we thought, well, let's see what we can do. And our friend Daniel Levine was willing to offer up some space. And so we transformed it, and it's a beautiful space. But yes, that is one of the anchors, along with First Ward Park and the WFAE space. Now that this will be a great opportunity to start your day for Shout. But as you said, we are scattered around uptown. We try to use as much of the urban landscape as possible. You will notice that we don't close streets. This is not your typical festival where we line tents up along a curb lane and you walk down the middle of the street and then you yell at us because you can't find your way around and park and so on. This is an open landscape. And so we'll use the plazas, we'll use the park settings. So down on South Tryon, you've got the area around all of the cultural centers, right? Like the Mint Museum and the Beckler and the Gant. We'll utilize the green there, next to St. Peter's. We have the Wells Fargo Plaza that will be activated. We're bringing back the putt-putt, which everybody loved 2 years ago when we brought it out. And so we're doing that again. And what's fun about the putt-putt is, well, you say putt-putt, that's not really art, but no, all of the obstacles on the putt-putt golf course will be created by recycled Charlotte artist who will create these wonderful pieces that will become the obstacles to avoid as you're trying to get that hole in
The
one.
artists have not been recycled, but the materials they're using
That is correct.
have
That's
been
correct.
recycled. Morag, as I said, people can go and look at your work right now at moragmyerskoff.com, and I think they should to really understand what we're talking about here, because your work, from what I can gather, from having seen it in one dimension as opposed to three dimensions, is more like architecture combined with graphic design, and it's an explosion of color and pattern. And I would guess that that is not everybody's cup of tea, although you say if everybody likes it, then that's quite boring. Do you find that most people like it?
You've got to ask the people, but I hopefully when you because also when you're involved in doing it, when I work with people to make it, then they that's also a whole other group of people who start liking color more as well. And here, I didn't manage to, I didn't paint it. Often I paint my structures if it's possible, but it wasn't so possible because of the distance. But there's been an amazing team that Robert got together to paint the work, which and they've done a fantastic job because I do like it. It is quite important about the hand painting that it isn't, that it isn't all digital and stuff. There's a lot, it has a different feeling about it, and that it's on woods. And so I don't know. I think it's also, I think judging things on a screen, like you say, and it's really important to go to the physical space
Yes.
and then make a decision from being in the physical space. It's very different to seeing things in images.
Colors can set a mood. I mean, black is very different from yellow. Pink is very different from green, olive green, whatever shade of green in terms of tone and possibly mood. You can tell me about that because you know more about that than I do. But how do you use color and pattern to communicate those feelings, moods, etc., and to communicate the message of this piece, this installation?
Well, from doing the work, because I leave, when I do projects like this, I try and leave it open to responding to the workshops. And so when we did the workshops and the workshops were so powerful, the words were so powerful, I really wanted to make this an explosion of messages to get across from the people who'd written the work. And so it's very much me almost, sort of responding to what we've created together, and then I put it out there, and hopefully the people who made the words will feel that it expresses what they were saying.
And you keep saying words because words are an important component to a lot of your work. And I watched a video of you yesterday, and you were talking about how you are obsessed right now with, this could have been years ago that you recorded this video, so you may not be obsessed anymore, but you are obsessed right now with three-dimensional words, letters. Why?
So they have, so on my what I'm wearing at the moment, I like the words to have shadows often and then to pull out of the space, so they have more dynamism about them. I mean, Robert might be able to explain it. I'm not very good at explaining what your response to it is. I don't
Oh,
know.
the words are the most important part. I mean, you spoke about the color and you spoke about the architecture, but I will tell you that the poetry that is involved in this piece will really capture you, and I think it's going to be the thing that is long lasting for the messaging. And we talk so much about this. It really is completely transforming this space of 40,000 square feet of just shipping containers will now be this amazing, colorful, eye-catching new home. It's just amazing.
We're going to talk more with Morag Myerskoff about this work, this installation, The State of Becoming, which is part of Charlotte Shout. And we'll also talk about some of the other events that you can catch, the other artists at work at Charlotte Shout, which opens this weekend for 17 days. But we have to take a break, and we'll do that when we come back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at mazdaofsouthcharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Charlotte Shout, which opens for this weekend for 17 days all over uptown. Morag Myerskoff is one of the leading artists that will be part of this celebration of art and culture. She's from London. Her installation is called The State of Becoming. It's at Victoria Yards. We'll talk some more about that in a moment. James LaVar is the Senior Vice President of her Economic Development at Charlotte Center City Partners. They are the force behind Charlotte Shout. And Robert Crombine is the Chief Creative Officer for Charlotte Center City Partners and the executive producer of Charlotte Shout. This lasts for 17 days, Robert. Even on weekdays, it's all day and into the night, even on weekdays. And the schedule's available online. But let's talk about a couple of the things that people can come and see. One is the return of another UK experience, the return of, this is a cool idea, Pianodrome. It arrived, I believe, last year from Scotland. It's a celebration of pianos in every way. Talk about it.
Absolutely. So everybody has that old piano, that upright piano that sits in the corner that maybe has been there for 20 years, and what do we do with this? And so these artists in Edinburgh came up with the idea of, rather than dumping them into a landfill, let's turn them into art. And it was a brilliant idea. They took the pianos apart and reused pretty much every part of the piano, with the exception of the strings and the hammers, but down to the screws even. And so that's what this is. We took 50 pianos that we had acquired throughout the Charlotte region, and we spent 3 months dismantling them and then rebuilding into these wedges of seating. So think amphitheater in the round, built out of pianos, 100% pianos, all the parts. There's not a piece of wood or a screw that came from Lowe's. It was all 100% whatever was left over. So the harp, that big iron piece, is used as structural to hold it up. And every wedge has its own piano that can be played. And these three pieces come together to create a piano drome. They are located at Grace Church on Brevard, a beautiful, most amazing space that is an old church. And the acoustics in that space are truly something to go and listen. You know, the actual listening room is something that we don't get to do a lot when we want to listen to music. You put on your headphones, you know, you do what you can, especially if you're that person who just really wants to hear every bit, every nuance. You don't get that on digital, and you don't get that on just the typical way that we do what we do. This is the place to go do it. And we're going to have some performance in there that I know will blow people away.
Morag Myerskoff's installation is near WFAE in Victoria Yards. There's another installation that's near our 7th Street gathering space right across from 7th Street Market, and it's called Optic, O-P-T-I-K. It's an interactive display where people can create their own endless cascade of colors. What more can you tell us about that?
You know, you will interact with it during the day. Sunlight will transform it. And then at night, there are LED lights that are built into the system. And you can, it's a prism, basically. You know, the childhood small little prism that you would go, you know, and you'd play around with light. These are ginormous, and multiple people can spin it, turn it, and get it to capture all the lighting around you. It's a really cool exhibit. It's coming out of Canada.
And as I understand it, it gives you a different effect whether you are there in the daytime or whether you're there at night.
Absolutely.
Another installation near WFAE. I don't mean to be harping on WFAE, but why not? Another installation is called Hydrate, where you can, this is digital, you can digitally step into a waterfall, but it's an illusion, right?
It is totally an illusion. And Rebecca Lips is one of our local artists who really specializes, well, she's multi-talented. She does so many different disciplines, but what she's really been focused on lately is projection art, but not just your typical go see a show on the side of a building, but to actually make it interactive. Last year, she did something up at the McCall Center where we were watching plants grow on the side of that building, and people could come and plant, and then it was quite fascinating. So this year it is a waterfall, and yes, you can be inside the waterfall and experience that in just a completely different way. And that will be actually projected on your building there at First Ward Park. And so it'll be, if you're playing with Optic and then you want to try something different, they'll all be right adjacent to each other. It'll be quite fun.
James, I understand that you used, if I got this right, correct me if I'm wrong, artificial intelligence to analyze attendance at last year's Charlotte Shout. Why? And what did you discover?
Yeah, so there's a tool out there called Placer.ai, and it utilizes the movement of mobile phones, puts a layer of anonymity on it, so we can't track individual people, but it provides insights about how people interact with certain spaces. And I think one of the most interesting things about the tool that it shared with us is a place called Luminous Lane. So this is an alleyway that sits between 3rd and 4th Street. And this alleyway, prior to Shout, was a place where people probably spent 0 minutes to 3 minutes. It was a place you did not want to go to. And because of the number of artists that came and painted the alleyway, now it's a place, during Shout, it was a place where people lingered and connected and looked at art for more than 40 minutes. And so that idea of uptown, even places that are not inviting, becoming a place of like gathering, becoming a place to have conversations, a place to see art, experience that. I think that sort of data point and that tool that enables us to do that is just a valuable insight about like what Shout is.
James, I'm hearing you talk and focus on the artistic experience of the participants in Charlotte Shout. But in America, this is America. We're in America, where everything is about money. And as Charlotte Center City Partners, I would have thought up until this moment in time that one of the reasons that you do this is for economic development purposes for the Uptown and South End region of Charlotte. What I'm hearing you talk about more, though, is the artistic experience. Which is it about for you guys? Is it more about bringing money in, or is it more about bringing people in to experience things they wouldn't otherwise have that opportunity to experience?
Yeah, good question. I think it's a question about what economic development used to be and what economic development is now. So in the past, economic development, I think, got a bad rap about, hey, we're going to give amount this money to this company to come here. And it's all about, tax abatement or some sort of like incentive. And economic development is all about place-based, right? If you're looking for that higher trajectory of growth and prosperity for all, you need to be thinking about the place. And I think an event like Shout, or again, Charlotte FC match, or a basketball game, or a play is about place. And the entire economic development machine runs on talent. And so you got to be an attractive place where people feel safe, comfortable, it's interesting, it's memorable, and it's got you got to have a job. And so if those two things are comboed up now, and events like Shout give us that ability to be attractive in the new world of economic development.
Robert.
Yeah, and let's remember also that artists are small business owners, that all of these folks are making a living in doing their craft. And when we create these pieces, Luminous Lane is a great example of something that we're doing with Shout that isn't just during Shout. It is still there. It is going to be there. It is a legacy of Shout. And we're trying to do more of that to really draw those folks that want to see and feel and understand what our community is about. But we do art walks through there now. There's all kinds of activity that are now driven by the fact that we have this alleyway that is essentially a gallery of 42 amazing artists, muralists. And this year, just so everybody knows, we're carrying that out into the light, so to speak. We're taking it out to 4th Street and expanding the work that we did in Luminous Lane with another 24 artists painting the side of the parking deck there at 4th and College. So all of these things will continue to drive, and economic development is just a derivative of that. I mean, you'll come in Uptown, and as James said, you've got to park your car, or you've got to take the light rail, or you're gonna stop and grab something to eat or drink. So it all works together in a really nice way.
More like all cities, no matter how old or how young they are works in progress. They never stop changing and morphing and growing, etc. Your installation is called The State of Becoming, which I think speaks to that, but it also speaks to this yearning that Charlotte has always had since its humble beginnings to reach beyond its potential and become something special. Is that why it's called The State of Becoming?
Well, that came from the group that we were with, from the participants. So there was a feeling in the space that there's been, what I understood from talking to different people have been away and now they've come back again, and they really want to build this creative community in the city. They like being very urban. They like the way it's growing. And, I think that's the depth. It's about it's not moving people out and getting other people in. It's about sort of growing all together and then making a new city, the future cities, not based on, you've got opportunities here where you're growing so much, and, it's down to everybody to make these new cities, not always based on what already has existed as well.
A lot of your work appears outdoors in urban settings, which are basically gray, gris, for lack of a better term. And yet your work just bursts with color and patterns that you would not think necessarily go together. They're just there. And you have said that your work is centered on the simple premise that humans have an innate tendency to seek connections with nature. Given the geometric patterns that you use, the cacophony of them, and the colors that you use, are those in nature?
Well, pattern, yeah, it's the is it Fibonacci? But all patterns, all plants.
The Fibonacci thing, yeah.
Yeah, come from patterns, and so. But also, I use lots of planting in my work, and it's also it's not just about my piece of work. It's all other things around that can check. You know, the landscape around, the sound. You can bring, you know, get the bees to come back again. So it's actually the layering and the materiality. So it's not. It's sort of growing it in a different way, a city in a different way, rather than it being just big buildings for business, you know.
I want to mention some of the other things, because we're out of time, but I want to mention some of the other things that Charlotte Shout is offering for the first time this year. Fashion, you have fashion on display and fashion workshops available to attend. Musically, the performers run the gamut, from Ethan Uslan, who has been a guest on this program. He's a jazz ragtime pianist who's amazing. Dowding Thomas, who's been around in the city for a long time. Gino Vannelli, now there's a name from the past. Gino Vannelli, well, he sold over 20 million records worldwide, and he will be here. Burt Reed's, a Reed quartet of local musicians will be part of this. And that just scratches the surface. Robert, how can people find out when and where and what is going on?
Very simple, charlotteshout.com. It'll tell you everything you need to know. When you come uptown, don't try to take it all in one day. It will exhaust you. Take little chunks, enjoy the moment. And it's like Charlotte weather. If you see something, it's going to change, because we're just constantly evolving the event from day to day to day. And that's the easiest way. But we'll also have a guidebook, so those folks who love something to carry, they can grab one of those too.
CharlotteShouts.com. Robert Krumbine is the executive vice president for, the senior vice president for, and creative op. This is too many titles here, Robert. You got to stop this. He's the executive producer of Charlotte Shout. There you go. James LaBarre is the senior vice president for development for Charlotte Center City Partners. And Morag Myerskoff is an artist whose installation, The State of Becoming, is one of the featured exhibits at Charlotte Shout. Thank you all.
Celebrating 25 years on the air, Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Wendy Herkey. The senior producers are Gabe Altieri and Sarah D'Elia. Our engineer is Joby Sprinkle. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or subscribe to the podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.